All right, welcome back to another episode of the Justify Your Existence podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Farrell. Today, I am joined by James Murphy. James, how are you?
Pretty good, man. We're getting into the home stretch of basketball season.
Yeah, all of a sudden, the calendar has flipped to February, and where has the season gone?
You're asking me?
That's fair. It just seemed like a little while ago. It was, sort of in that... nice period where you're like, I've got college football on, but I'll throw the college basketball game on in the background, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, all my focus is now on college basketball, and we're just a month away from March.
Yep. We'll have a bracket in about a month, and okay, the sport has taken center stage.
But the old Staples commercials with the easy button?
Yeah.
I would like to replace that with a panic button. And whether or not one or both of Mississippi State and Ole Miss should press it.
Well, I can speak for Mississippi State more so. Ole Miss, I think, just off the top of my head, you lose to the number one team in the country. Not a ton of shame. And I am more concerned about and more familiar with Mississippi State, who... It was one thing for them to lose to Alabama, who I think a lot of people I've talked about could probably win the whole thing. But to come out flat against Missouri the way that they did cannot happen. I tweeted during the game as I was covering it that it's hard to find an area where Mississippi State wasn't getting outplayed. They were getting out-rebounded. They were getting out-physicaled. They were getting outdone on fundamentals. And once again... the three-point defense continues to be a problem. Whatever kind of defense is being played is allowing the opponent to get open look after open look after open look pretty much on every possession. It's a lot of the time it's from three. Sometimes it's from around that range, and they're just cashing in most of the time. And, Chris Jans did talk about it, but that's got to change. There's a week in between games for Mississippi State, and in between now and then they got some stuff to figure out.
Did it feel like as if millions of, or I guess thousands of State fans cried out in terror and were suddenly silenced?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. It was honestly, the more threes just went in early on, I think there was definitely a sense of, oh no, here we go again, especially when Caleb Grill hit one from, if we are being exact by the measurements of the midcourt logo, he hit one from around Clarksdale. So... once that went in, it was just like, oh, here we go.
I mean, I've seen this sort of game happen before. It's not terribly uncommon to have games where you just go, well, they were just unstoppable from three. We can't keep up with that. Sometimes that just happens. But this feels a little different than that.
It does. It's one thing when it's happening the one time against Kentucky. And you could even argue the same against Alabama, even then I think concern was growing. But this can't happen. All due respect to Caleb Grill, who might be one of the best six men in the country, arguably the best. But something, again, it's just something in the way that the defense shifts. It's a lot of it at this point, I do really think, is Mississippi State giving teams opportunities. We talked about after the Bama game how they try to play a defense that focuses more on taking the ball away. But again, the thing is, if you're not able to do that and you compromise a lot of your defense to get the turnovers, then and they're able to wiggle out of that, they will find an open look and take advantage. And the thing with most of the teams in the SEC is they take advantage. Kentucky will take advantage. Alabama will take advantage. Missouri wasn't quite nearly as good of a three-point sheet team as a whole. They took advantage. And it's just something has to change in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, the thing for State right now is that too often it feels like they're trading threes for twos. They'll give up a three at the other end. And then State is not a horrible offensive basketball team, far from it. They are just terrible from outside. And when you're having bad nights from outside at both ends, it is really hard to win in basketball games.
Yes, and as great as Josh Hubbard is, he cannot. I do feel like we're getting more into an area where we were last year of the three-point shooting capabilities on this team are Josh Hubbard and others. Although I do think guys like Claudell Harris and RJ Melendez can get going. Hubbard takes on more of the load from three-point, more of a burden from three-point shooting than any tournament team probably should have. There's like too much of an imbalance there.
Yeah, you can't be 15th in opponent three-point percentage and 14th in your own three-point percentage and expect to win ball games in this league right now.
No, and again, something I do feel like in the time that Chris Jans has between now and Georgia on Saturday, they've got to kind of work towards that.
Yeah, so because I knew you were going to talk about a lot of three-point defense stuff. Hear me out. I'm just going to throw some stuff at you. After looking through some stats research, what I've seen people come to conclude over the years is that three-point defense is very volatile. I don't know if I would go as far as say it's random, but it has its ups and downs. It varies quite a bit. It seems like teams have some control over how often their opponents shoot threes, but not necessarily what happens after that. There's a couple pretty good Ken Pom posts about this for those who are interested. But what you do have control over is how often teams shoot threes. Because, I mean, think about it. I mean, why would you settle for a really longer shot that is contested, even though it's worth more, right? Like, teams generally, like, shoot threes when they are open or decently open or, you know, like, the amount of tightly contested threes that are taken are not, like, super high. Right. And so going off that, I would feel a lot better about the whole, hey, you know, it's just like a weird, you know, shooting percentage thing right now. It'll be fine. If it weren't for the fact that they were giving up a ton of 3-point attempts.
Yeah, no, it's not the shots that concern me. It's the fact that they're not being contested. And again, Chris Jans has said this as much himself. He has talked about how they need to contest more. And the thing is, the other thing that he talked about was if, when they do contest, they foul. And you don't want to foul because you might just be giving away 3 points anyway. So they're in this weird spot where either they contest and foul or don't contest and give up 3 points anyway. So I don't know if that's a technique thing. I don't know what kind of drills there are for that. Because in fairness, there are times when teams just shoot a ton of contested threes and make them. But you just got to contest it, you know? You got to make the defense work. Even if it's just making sure a guy gets out to the perimeter with, say, 5 seconds left in the shot clock, and he either has to drive or dish it out or take a shot he's not comfortable with.
Right. I will say, though, you mentioned fouls. The, like, one good thing that State did in that game was, I guess technically it's two things, is they got to the line a good bit, and they really didn't send Mizzou to the line. So there's that, I suppose.
There is, but again, you could also credit it to, okay, they're not being very physical, which is something that's their identity. And, yeah, who knows from there?
Mm. Well, yeah, I don't know, how do you feel about a game like that? You mentioned in your article that they need a reset. It's really hard when these games come fast and heavy.
It is, and I think a lot of it, and they talked about this after the game, both Jans and Josh Hubbard, was they need to get back to their roots. They need to get back to being a grimier team. They need to get back to playing more physical and just getting after the ball, which they kind of do on defense already, but I guess just more to the point. They need to be able to get back to that and get back to their identity, which, yeah, I his defense. I think a lot of it will also have to do with post play, and I think that's going to have to involve guys like Cameron Matthews, Michael Nwoko, Keyshawn Murphy, who we've seen his upside and what he's capable of when he's on. So getting back to those things, especially the defense, because I do feel like they get the defensive stop, sets up the offense, and they flow a lot more. Like the 1-8-0 run they had against Mizzou was because the defense was able to force a ton of turnovers, and they didn't give a ton of space on the perimeter, right? And they just were able to take advantage and get going. If they could just play that kind of game more consistently, they can be a lot better. But if not, it's going to be a long rest of the season.
Yeah. Have you also considered that you're just like a bad luck charm for State?
I'm not ready to go that far yet.
Because what, have they lost every game you've been to?
The men?
Yeah. Yeah. That's tough. That's tough. But usually they're close though, right?
Yeah. They're usually pretty close. I mean, granted, now you could also make the argument those were three of the toughest games they've had all year, or three of the toughest opponents they faced.
That's entirely fair. But yeah, I mean, for State, they've won 2 of their last 7 / lost 5 of their last 7. And if you look by effective field goal percentage, so like regular field goal percentage, but weighted for the importance and value of threes, mm-hmm. sort of like the, I guess, the slugging percentage to on base percentage type deal, maybe, yeah. I guess, is the comparison I'm looking for.
Okay.
They had on defense, they had an effective field goal percentage of 67.5%, which is both very bad and the fifth worst of any team in SEC play.
Oh, wow.
What if I told you that was not the worst mark that they've had in SEC play
ever?
No, just this year.
What was the worst one?
State's worst one was against Kentucky.
Oh, yeah,
wow. It wasn't much worse, but it was worse.
Right. Yeah.
So that, in fact, happened. But hey, it wasn't even the worst one of the day because Vanderbilt in Oklahoma happened. But the point is, they had a not fun day on defense against Alabama and followed it up with an even worse day on defense.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Granted, Mizzou's been kind of a machine in conference play this year. I do want to shout out Mizzou because, I mean, they had, I believe, they were the first team to go winless in SEC play ever.
Really?
Last year. They definitely went winless in SEC play last year. And that included losing in their first SEC tournament game, too. So that happened. But yeah, I mean, just an incredible turnaround from Mizzou because, I mean, what do you mean you were winless in conference play last year and all of a sudden you're just going around putting up, you know, a ton of points on the road, you know?
Yeah.
This is not their first big road win of the year.
It's not. And, you know, with the SEC being as stacked as it is, naturally there are going to be teams that are overlooked. But one that, you know, Mizzou is one that has been up to this point. But I think that State win showed that, you know, they're not. They're just on top of being just on top of having the capabilities of shooting a lot of threes. Not, and I'm not just saying that because of who they play on Saturday. They can get going. They're very complete. You know, they're able to get a lot in the post on the boards. They play a very aggressive press defense where they're able to just really make the opposition uncomfortable. We saw them do it to Ole Miss. Earlier in the week before they did it to Mississippi State. And look, they can be really dangerous down the stretch.
Yeah, sorry, I have to correct myself. Vanderbilt did it in 2018-19. They went winless in SEC play. But they were that team was the first one since 1954.
Wow.
Wow. And it was Georgia Tech. So does that even really count?
Yeah, it's hard to say it does. Hard to argue that it does.
But, yeah, so there's that. But, yeah, I just wanted to shout out Mizzou because they've been really good in conference play. And I don't know, I just think they deserve a lot of credit for really just turning things around. I was looking at the Bart Torvik rankings. If you sort by just conference games, they're fourth in the country.
Wow. Like,
You know, so I mean, they're 6-2 in conference play right now. Like, I don't know, they're playing really well. And I mean, yeah, I mean, one of those losses is to Texas, but the other one is to Auburn, at Auburn.
Very reasonable loss. Very reasonable conditions, you know, to lose in.
Yeah. You want to, speaking of Auburn, well, I guess first I should add, is there anything else from your day in Starkville you wanted to talk about?
Well, they just have work to do, and they got to be able to do it. Again, Chris Jens said that right now they're not a top 10 team. At least he said that on Wednesday, and they did not play like much of a top 25 team on Saturday, quite frankly. So I think a lot's up in the air with them. Now, do they make the tournament? Again, probably. It would still take an insane cataclysmic collapse for them to not make it. But what kind of team they are when they get there is going to depend a lot on what they do really now in the next couple of days and how they prepare, how they adjust. It's a big infliction point for them. And choice is theirs where they go from here.
Yeah, I don't know enough about bracketology stuff to say that this game against Georgia on Saturday is a must win, but I feel like it probably is.
No, it is. It definitely is.
It's on the road, which complicates things, but yeah, I don't know. Georgia and then home against Florida and then on the road against Ole Miss and then A&M at home. Not a fun stretch.
It is not, and they got to have to find a way to win at least a couple of those.
Yeah, right now they're projected to go 8-10 in conference play by both Bart Torvik and KenPom. So, not fun. And yeah, I don't know. It's a tough run right now. But they do have some company in misery, I guess. I don't think that they want the company.
And we're not just talking about the opponent they played on Saturday.
Okay. All right. Okay. Because Missouri kind of sounds like misery.
It's a stretch. I'll admit it's a stretch.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll call that an infield single.
Nice.
So Ole Miss decided to fight Auburn. Turns out Auburn has hands.
Yes. Janai Broome's Auburn. That's how you pronounce his name, right?
We'll roll with it.
All right. He throws a lot of those hands.
Auburn's really good. I don't really think that this game is super complicated.
It's not. Ole Miss put up a good fight at home. They hang around and just did a lot of what you would ask them to do in that situation. I mean, not a huge panic thing. Not great that they haven't had a ton of momentum. I believe this is their third loss in their last four games. Correction. This is their fourth loss in their last five games. This is going to happen. It's being the SEC. I don't know if it's a huge deal. I think you'd be more upset about the way you lost the Mississippi State games and certainly the way you lost the A&M game than this.
Yeah, I mean, good news is, you know, he's scored 82 points against an Auburn team that's pretty good defensively. Bad news is, like, your whole thing is you play good defense and you gave up 92 points.
Yeah, not great.
When I say that State has company in misery, I both mean it in a, you know, they're both slumping right now. Like you said, Ole Miss has lost 4 or 5, State has lost 5 or 7. You know, both kind of entered SEC play in pretty good spirits. And, you know, things got off to a pretty good start, and you know, you're like, okay, this could be a really special year for both schools. And now reality has kind of hit a little. And now it's like, okay, well, how do you bounce back? And the Ole Miss game was a little strange just from like a numbers perspective, because like Ole Miss's thing is that they play good defense, they find enough points, they force a bunch of turnovers, they don't turn the ball over, but they get destroyed on the boards. And you know, like I said, the offense is good, not great. And the problem was is that much like State, they got absolutely destroyed from outside. Look, tough days are going to happen. It's really rough when you allow 28 three-point attempts and they score on half of them.
I see that Auburn starters had 20, 10, 18, 16, and 15 points.
Yeah. Yeah, now when the other team can field a starting five of double-digit point getters, it's going to be real rough.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to overcome.
Now, when Broom's sitting there with a double-double, it's tough.
And he's one of two players with a double-double.
Yes. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, okay, well, Ole Miss shot 46%, Auburn shot 48%. That's pretty even. And then you look at the three-point attempts, and you're like, oh, all right, well, never mind. I mean, as per usual, they, you know, had a hard time on the boards. They gave up 15 offensive rebounds, but, you know, they only gave up 17 second chance points. I mean, the second chance points were 17 to 14. You know, it's not like you can sit there and just say, hey, it was the rebounds. They won the turnover battle like they usually do. Not decisively, unfortunately for them. It's 12-9. And, yeah, I mean, I think it just, you look back at the threes, I mean, the other team shoots 50%, and they shoot a bunch of them. You don't shoot as many, and you make them less often. I don't really think it's all that complicated.
Yeah, pretty simple to deduce from there.
Again, it's just, I think, probably frustrating from the Ole Miss perspective, because, I mean, your defense has been very, very good in conference play. And, you know, I just think it's one of those things where, I mean, obviously keep an eye on it, but I think you just got to tip your hat and say, well, Auburn has hands.
That's... Yeah, yeah, you do. I do think just connecting Ole Miss and Mississippi State back together and kind of going back to what you were talking about earlier, I do think it's kind of time to ask ourselves what these teams are really capable of. I think coming in to, let's say the Egg Bowl, we both thought that, okay, these teams have high ceilings, and then they kind of ran into a lot of the teeth of the SEC, and neither has done particularly well so far, save for Ole Miss going on the road and beating Alabama, which might be one of the more impressive wins of the entire season. But I do think it's now, but yeah, it's time to ask kind of what these teams are capable of. They're obviously better than they were last year, both are, but also the SEC is a lot tougher. So it's probably a combination of the two. And I do feel like we're going to learn the answer to that over the next couple of weeks.
Not only did they beat Alabama, they limited Alabama to 64 points. You know, I mean, that's the kind of thing I talk about when I say, like, their defense has been really good in conference play. Like, that's the kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you look only by conference play, Ole Miss is second in defensive efficiency. Like, they play good defense. They don't really let you hit a ton of shots, and they will force a bunch of turnovers. Like, that's their deal.
Which makes the fact that Auburn went 14 for 28 from three even more impressive.
Yeah, and, you know, again, Ole Miss not having a decisive advantage in turnovers also probably helped. Also, I do want to shout out on the plus side, Sean Padula had a big day. I just want to throw that out there. 29 points, 3 for 6 from 3, 5 rebounds, a couple assists. You can hang that up there with, maybe not quite, but Josh Hubbard's game from last week.
Yeah, and that he, did a lot to try and carry them.
Yeah, came close. No dice. So, I want to jump back to my original question. Do we need to hit the panic button on at all? Do we need to do it for one team? Do we need to do it for both?
We are not hitting the panic button, but I think it is time to just kind of reevaluate and adjust, because the SEC as a whole has hands. There are several teams in here capable of going on deep runs, capable of winning the whole thing, and all of whom will make Nashville very interesting in about 6 weeks. Look, I do think these teams are both better than last season. I think there's still a world where they both make it. I think it would take so I cataclysmic collapse in both Oxford and Starkville just for them to even get around the bubble. And I think the SEC being as tough as it is helps their case because at least the resume doesn't take as big of a hit. You know, unless you lose to like a South Carolina at home. The point being, it's not time to hit the panic button, but it is kind of time to wonder what they're really capable of and see how they adjust, because they're both going to have tough stretches. Like I talked about how Mississippi State, after Georgia, they have, I believe, four of their next five games are against ranked opponents, and Ole Miss, in a matter of hours, hosts Kentucky.
Yeah.
Grind never stops.
Yeah. You want to talk about a nice defensive task? That will be a nice defensive task for sure. Yeah, I mean, like, last week, you know, State and Ole Miss were both, like, 4 or 5 seeds, depending on where you go for your bracketology needs, right? So, I mean, it's hard for me to, you know, after a weekend, to be like, well, I don't know, man. I don't know if they'll make the tournament. Like, I don't know. Everything's bad. Everything's on fire, right? But also, at a certain point, it's like, you know, both of them need to kind of get things back on the right track.
Right. Again, it's not a matter of if they'll make the tournament. I do think they will somewhat comfortably. It's what kind of team are they going to be? Are they going to be a team that gets in and at the very least gives the other team a big fight? Or is it going to be like last year where Mississippi State makes the tournament, goes to Charlotte, and then about 10 minutes into the game says, "That's all, folks."
Right. Yes. Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably where the expectation is make the tournament. Please win a game. Nobody likes to go one and done in the tournament.
Yeah. Also, I mean, I can speak a little bit more for Mississippi State because I've seen their games, but I think people would be all right with a tournament win. You know, it's been a gradual yet steady climb on the way up. And, you know, you get in first year, they lose the first 4 games. Second year, they make the second round without having to go to Dayton and end up falling there. Whereas I think this year, it's about just getting into the tournament and making sure you win a game.
Yeah, I just feel like there are a pretty small handful of fan bases that would be disappointed in a just one tournament win, right?
Right.
So I just want to throw that out there. And I think also some perspective helps. Like right now, Ole Miss is 23rd in the net ranking. State is 31. Mm-hmm. They're in pretty similar spots. And, you know, the fancy stat nerd rankings, mm-hmm. be it Ken Pom or Partorvik or, you know, wherever you look.
Right.
And that's usually good enough for the tournament.
Yeah.
Outside of, you know, teams like St. John's that finished, like, you know, like 25th in Ken Pom or whatever they were last year, but missed out on the tournament because they lost every close game in every imaginable way.
Yes, and they were left out of the tournament despite giving the eventual national champion the best game it would see all year. But I digress.
Well, yes, I'm sorry. I did not. I forgot I was touching on a soft spot.
Yes, the horse mascot came back. I thought that was very exciting.
Oh, yes, yes. For those who are uninformed, what even is a Red Storm, and what was happening there?
I believe, and we can strike this from the record if it's not true, it's meant to honor nearby Native Americans because apparently something about either the bird and or the horse signifies like something that they hold significant in their culture. It's something along those lines.
Okay. All right. You just sent that to me the other day, and I was like, I don't understand the significance of it, but I'm glad that you're happy.
There, it was a fun, they had like a fun little video where like the bird and the horse kind of did like a Western stare down and then started fighting each other. It was adorable.
Yeah, no, I just needed the context. I thought it was great. I just needed the context. I'm like, this is not something I understand. But yeah, I don't know, any other standouts from you this week?
From this week, no, but again, not time to panic, but it is time to adjust.
Yes, yes. James, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at jsmurphymedia.com or X. I have no preference what you call it, but you can find me there. When I'm live tweeting games, I'm usually there, and I usually put up a game story not long after. You can also find a link to a lot of my work and our work at djournal.com.
Yeah, and then you can find me on Twitter at bferrell727. Again, you can find all of our coverage at djournal.com, on Twitter at djournalsports. You can also find our guy Michael Katz on the Ole Miss side of things at djournal.com for, coverage on Ole Miss basketball. So, anyway, thank you all for listening this week, and have a good one.